Welcome to this message by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Bishop Edwin Ogo is a seasoned minister of the Word of God whose messages on Christian living, church building, and the work of the ministry are a great inspiration to ministers all over the world. He pastors the Makanair Cathedral in Oyibi, where he ministers powerfully in various services, transforming lives and raising zealous church workers. You will experience the transformational force and power of God's Word as he ministers passionately to you today. Be blessed as you listen.
Smile and tell me, well done, good and faithful servant. That Hallelujah. Wow, the words of those song, of that song, it's so beautiful. Amen. It's church you come to hear such words. You don't hear such words in town. There's no one I love like you, Jesus. I can't wait to see your face and say, I love you. Amen. You know, it's a song we should all learn and sing in church. It shouldn't be like some TSA song that somebody comes to sing. What do you think? Yeah. When I think of all the lectures and all the speeches that I have heard in my life, they are all so empty. People speak with so much strong opinions. You know, I want us to welcome our dear sister Benedicta. She's going to minister to us another song. She's going to preach to us in song this morning. Put your hands together, clap, and let's receive our beautiful sister in red and denim.
Where you go, I'll follow.
Hallelujah. Amen. What is that time of the service where I get excited? Amen. The last time this man of God was here, he brought us a blockbuster. A blockbuster of a message. Amen. It was a message on baptism. I wasn't experiencing the preaching, the depth of understanding that he brought to us on baptism. Just baptism, being immersed and what it means. Amen. Are you with me? I've left. Oh, first works experience. Are you excited this morning? Yeah. Amen. Look, I'm lost for words. You know, Jesus, in referring to John the Baptist, you know, a man can be referred to in many ways. And one of the ways Jesus referred to John the Baptist is that he is a voice. Amen. John the Baptist was referred to in the New Testament as a voice. He's like, who is that guy there? Jesus referred to him as a voice that is crying in the wilderness. And this morning, God has sent us not just a man, but he has sent us a voice that is shouting, is crying in the wilderness of the world. This time, in these days, there's a voice, a long voice that is speaking his truth. He's speaking his word, and that voice is no other person than my pastor and your pastor, the bishop of this church, the bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo of First Works Experience. Put your hands together, make some noise, and let's receive the voice of God.
A sweet atmosphere in the spirit, and maybe the atmosphere is also sweet because it's not too hot. When the heat comes, it dries up the sweetness, but it's a blessing for us to be in church today. The church is the only thing God is arranging to give you a good life. Not your job.
The church.
Not your school.
The church.
Not your anything.
The church.
Is the only thing God has arranged to let your life come close to his original plan for your life. So when you play with the church, you are playing with your destiny and God's plan for you.
Church.
And what is left of you is what the work the devil has done. You know, all of us. I told you, my family, they are dwarfs. Somebody said they are dwarfs there. We are all coming from bizarre backgrounds. You have dressed like some nice brother with your glasses, cute girl with fingernails. You know where you are coming from. I said, you know where you are coming from. Don't come and play with us here. Yeah. It's only God's intervention that has made you the nice person you are through the church.
Oh, yes.
The church is Christ's embassy on earth. Yes. God's embassy. If God wants to do anything on earth, he will pass it through the church. Yes. There is no gathering in the world that is as important as the gathering of the ecclesia, the called out ones, the church. So I am very happy that I belong to this church.
Hallelujah.
And I'm also very excited that God has also blessed us with a very fine pastor.
My God.
Fine. So, I want you to love church. And but before you love church, it is our responsibility to make the church lovable and enjoyable. Yes. It is when I say we, I mean we, the leaders, is when we don't play our part well, that the church becomes a forsaken wilderness and there is dryness and nothing works. But it is the leaders who must lead. One day you have a chance to go to Czechoslovakia, Singapore. Last week Sunday I was in Singapore. Very, very, you see, and you may think that Singapore looks the way it is because of where it is. And Ghana looks the way it is because of where it is. No. It is the way it is because of the pastors of Ghana, the leaders. Singapore is the way it is, not because it is far, but because they had leaders, a leader called Lee Kuan Yew. Yes. So, I'm now talking to the pastors that we should lead, and to lead, you make the people uncomfortable as you lead them. A good leader doesn't succumb to the caprices and the whims and the desires and the inclinations of the members. If you are leading, you know where you are taking the people to, and then you lead them that we are going here. Say, tell your child, you are eating this kotumbre, not toffees. Yeah, you are not eating toffees. I say that you are eating kotumbre. So I'm believing God that God will give our leaders and our pastors the steel to lead. But let's lift up our hands and thank God for this morning. Father, we thank you.
Oh, yes, Lord.
And tell the Lord that he should speak to you.
Thank you, Lord.
Tell him to speak to you, to minister
speak
his word.
Speak to us, Lord.
bring you the blessedness of His word. Thank you, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Speak to me.
Yes, Lord.
Speak to me.
Yes, Lord.
As your word comes,
God.
Back it with your power.
Back your word.
Let your word change me.
Yes, Lord.
Let your word change
Let your word change
me. Let your word transform
Let your
me.
Word change
Let your word make Let me your a special person. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Wow. Very nice. I see Uncle Adam in a vest. Very nice. It's a wilder miracle than the blind seeing. It's a wilder miracle than the deaf hearing. Yes. When you see this, you don't need to see healing. You don't need to see cancer has disappeared. You don't need it. Just because of what you are seeing. And what you are seeing, it takes a leader who is strong. If you are a chicken feed leader, you can't lead. It's a stubborn cat. Stubborn cat. So it's when you see the face and he's smiling, you think, oh, he's a very soft and good person. He's a cat. Yes, he's a cat. If you are not strong as a leader, you won't do well. Some of you are misbehaving because your pastors, basenta leaders, are not strong to lead you. Not strong as in insulting people or slapping people up. No, there's a way to lead. Yeah, there's a way to lead. Not shouting, you foolish boy, nonsense. No, no. Rather, you drive people away. There's a way you can control a stubborn cat. So this morning, I'm happy to share the word of God with you. And last week, I promised, I said I was going to preach. I wasn't here last week. Okay. Really, it's like last week. The week before. I said when I return, I'm going to start a series titled Give Thyself Holy. But I am not going to preach that message here. Yes. I'm going to preach that message in the Shine service. Not even in His presence service. That's the most, that's the first service in the week. And I'm doing it in the Shine. And then you have to go to the podcast and listen. I'm forcing you to go. Grandma, do you know podcast? Okay, they'll take you to the podcast. Yeah. So tomorrow, you should go to the podcast. Everybody, if you don't have a smartphone, get your mother's smartphone. Your father's smartphone and install the podcast app there. Build it yourself. Get the messages. You know, there was a time I was preaching the same message in all the services. That was a season. I've entered a new season where I preach different messages. Yesterday in the evening, I preached on waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord. So what I'm preaching here today, I'm going to tell them that they should go to the podcast and listen to this. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't have anything else you are doing. You should not have anything else you are doing. I mean, go to school, go to work, go to your farm, go to your shop. But I'm talking about your life. Should be fully a Christian life and spend your time listening to gospel music, Christian music, don't be listening to Asake. Gospel music. Christian music of different types. You know, but once again, what I'm saying is the leader who will take you there. Yeah. If your leader doesn't take you there, naturally it is Asake that is available for you, or Ira Star that is waiting for you. So it's when the leaders, Matthew 9, don't do what they have to do, then the place becomes barren and everybody is fainting. Not because there is no shepherd. That scripture, he looked, they fainted and they were scattered because there was no shepherd. That sentence does not mean that no shepherd was there. There can be a shepherd, but he's as useless as having nobody there. Yes. You can have a father in the house or a mother in the house, but you are eating rubbish from town. As though there's no mother. People grow up and blame their parents. I've seen it several times. They blame their parents for their life. That, and it's true. True. So you are the reason why my life is like this. Because there is a time you don't allow, you determine what the child should do. You don't take the child to church. You don't stay in church with the children for them to play with other children, learn instruments, be with other other people, attend other meetings. And you are going home at 7 p.m. in the evening with your children. Yes, if you don't do that and you come to church and after the church service at 12:30, you sit in the car with your children and take them home. One day, they will blame you. You are the reason why I am drinking. You are the reason why I don't go to church. Because you see, church is not this old. This is not church. The real church is what happens after we leave here. The relationships, the small meetings. We are meeting here. We are going here. We are eating some bread. Read the Bible. In Acts chapter 2, you see that the real church was not even that. It was just one. It's just mentioned as one of the things they were doing. Apart from that, watch it. They went from house to house, eating, fellowshipping. I said, if you want to belong to this church, I'm informing you that attending this morning's church service doesn't make you a member of the church. Doesn't make you a member of the church. What you do when the service ends shows that you are a member of the church. So after church, when you carry your children and put them in the car and you drive them home, you have not brought them to church. That's not church. This is not church. What happened yesterday during the rehearsal of the choir, that is church. When the choir members met, when the dancing stars met, when the instrumentalists and the technical team met, when the prayer warriors met on Wednesday, when they met in Sister Ifwa's house, Brother Kwame's house, and they were eating together, that is church, not this one. This is not church. This is not church. Here we come to learn a few things to do the real church. So there are some of you pastors, your members are going to curse you one day. You took me away from church. You didn't lead me well. You are the reason why I don't like church. You are the reason. Not that I'm a bad person. And they are right. Right. He said, they that lead thee, Ecclesiastes, they cause you to err. Yes, those who lead you. The person who was your father is the reason why you are a prostitute. Your father is the reason why you are a prostitute. if he had led thee well, but he himself didn't know better. They that lead thee. She can't even find the verse because she herself is not a correct person. Always, some of you mothers, your daughter will grow up one day and curse you. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, that's Isaiah. They which lead thee, those who lead you, cause you to err. So when you find somebody is erring, don't be too quick to blame the person. Somebody led or misled. And you destroy the way of thy path, those who lead you. So if you are here, Pastor, be very careful. There's judgment on you, you know. That's why I'm here. I brought the church here because I'm afraid of my judgment. Many of you would never, some of you still don't even know that church. You were destined to sit at my feet. From here, I'm going to Agomeda. Yes. You don't fear God. Me, I'm afraid of God. Behave any way you want to behave. And the judgment of God, it's not, he doesn't wait when you, he's in a hurry. He doesn't wait for you to die, then you are going to hell. No, here on earth, you see things in your house. You can't believe that it's happening to me in my house. So, go to the podcast. And I expect pastors to lead them. Get the podcast on their house. Sit down with them. Let them listen. If they don't listen to it, it's you who made them not listen. They that lead thee. So today, I want to finish the work I started last 2 weeks. It's a very important work. I'm happy your pastor talked about it. I preached about baptism. And I stayed essentially, largely, on water baptism. Yeah. And it's your responsibility as a leader to make the members listen to the message again. Make them listen to the message again. Bringing someone to church doesn't end your work. It's the beginning of your work. Don't bring someone to church to just come and taste a little of God and the person goes away thinking he's a believer. Meanwhile, he has just been sensitized against God. Immunized against God. So today, I know, towards the end, I talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit also. Yes. There are a couple of baptisms in the Bible. But the big ones are water baptism. Which essentially talks about the death, the burial, and the resurrection. It's something a Christian must do. Not because he doesn't have water to bath at home. But it's a rite. Like we call it rite of passage. It's something you must do to enter a new phase. You must enter water. And once again, the pastor, the lady pastor, has to explain to you why you are entering the water. And why you must go inside the water, because it's called baptism. I taught you 2 weeks ago that it's not an English word. Baptism is not an English word. It's a Greek word which has been smuggled into the English language. Baptism means baptizo. It means to fully immerse. In the case of water, you are entering the water fully. There is nothing like sprinkling of water. It's even bad English. You can't be drinking water in a glass, and when they ask you what you are doing, you say you are eating. It's madness. It's madness to sprinkle water on the forehead of a baby and say you are baptizing. It doesn't even make sense, let alone make it right. Fully, you enter it fully. It has a meaning, and I explained it last 2 weeks, and I expect you yourself, as you were in the service, to go again and listen to it yourself as a pastor. These are basic. This morning, our pastor, our prophet, is in Samoa, and he was teaching on prayer. Basic. I mean, there's nothing lower than the message he was preaching. There's nothing lower. Foundations, prayer. He could have gone there to teach them about eschatology. Prayer. So I'm also standing here. I'm teaching you about baptism. Baptism. And the big one is that it must cover you completely. That's why you enter the water fully. Then the second one is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That one, there's no Holy Spirit river to enter into. That one, it is poured on you from above. Fully poured on you. There's no river, Holy Spirit. It is poured on you. It's poured. He descends on you. Power from on high. It's poured on you. And every Christian in Nigeria, every Christian in Swaziland, every Christian in Ghana, every Christian in America, if you are a Christian, you must have that experience of that downpour. Should be poured on you. Poured on you. So either you are entering the water, or it is being poured on you. In both cases, you are you can drown. You can go and stand underwater and drown and die. You can go and stand under water that is pouring and be in it and drown, because you can't breathe. So whether you are entering or it is being poured on you, it is called baptism. Now today, I am talking now about the Holy Spirit baptism. Yes. Holy Spirit baptism. And you cannot be a Christian sitting in church managing sound or projecting scriptures and you have not had that Holy Spirit, that downpour hasn't taken place. You can't. Every Christian must have it. So in Acts chapter 19, verse 1, Paul went to Ephesus and found certain disciples. These are believers. They call them disciples. Once you are a believer, you are a disciple. So he found the disciples. And in verse 2. Yes, thank you. He said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost? That downpour. I know you are a member of the Anglican Church. I know you are a member of the Catholic Church. I know you are a Methodist. I know you are in First Works. I know you are a Christian. But have you received the downpour of the Holy Ghost? Since you believed. So Paul separated the two. That there's an event called believing, and there's an event called the downpour, the downpouring of the Holy Ghost on you. You can believe, but you've not had that downpour. And a believer who doesn't have that downpour is a different type of believer. He's a dangerous unbeliever. And listen to what they said. That is why I'm preaching this message. So that you don't stand anywhere and say, you have never heard. This is what they said. They said, we have never heard that there's even something like Holy Ghost. We know of Basenta. We know of church service. We know of crowd rehearsal. We know of dancing stars. We know quiet time. But we have never heard that there must be a downpour of a Holy Ghost. We don't know it. What you are saying is news. Then Paul asked them, what? So what then were you baptized? Unto what? And they said, into John's baptism. John's baptism is good. What is John's baptism? John's baptism is the baptism of repentance. Which is important. It's important that you break up with your boyfriend. It's important you break up with your math teacher. It's important you remove yourself from those friends. A Christian shouldn't be among such friends. A Christian shouldn't be watching certain things on your screen. A Christian shouldn't be listening to some things. It's good that you repented, that you've stopped with the girl. But if you don't receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are going to go back. Verse. Is there? I've not even seen it. Then said Paul, John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance. I didn't even know it's here. It's a type of baptism which today many Christians don't know and have not even practiced it. We only call people to believe. Do you believe in Jesus? Come and say the sinner's prayer. Come. And they come and say the sinner's prayer on top of their sins. The first thing you must do as a Christian is to turn away from your nonsense. Turn around from those people. Turn around from that lifestyle. Stop that thing you are doing. Don't think that way. Don't behave that way towards God. Don't behave that way towards church. People are sitting in the church, but they have the mind of an unbeliever, even towards church attendance. And the Bible says in Hebrews, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. Don't be a Christian and treat church like an unbeliever. Repent. Turn around and change. We are sitting in church praying in tongues. We have some married man boyfriend feeding us with whatever. We are liars. We are thieves. We are unbelievers. Literal unbelievers. Saying a prayer doesn't mean you are born again. Saying the sinner's prayer doesn't mean you are born again. I repeat myself. Saying the sinner's prayer, that even John 10, 9 and 10 refers to something that must happen inside your heart. So you can be a disciple, but you have not received the downpour. You've not been baptized by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, to be baptized by Him, you can't be walking. You can't be walking. You can't be on the move. You can't be living a life as usual. It requires sitting down at one place for a very long time, waiting for him to come. You are too busy to be a pastor. You are too busy to be a lady pastor. You are too busy. Listen to the message I preached yesterday, waiting on God. And I mean you, listen to it. They were sitting down. They had time. They sat there with their children in the upper room, waiting, praying as they were waiting. And suddenly, the Holy Ghost. Look, I'm about to give you some points. Why you must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You can be a pope if you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You are not part of the game. Why you should be baptized? He came on them. You should be interested. The Holy Spirit is not given to people who are not interested. That's why I'm preaching. In fact, these comments I'm making should actually be some conclusion remarks. So the end. I should say these things at the end to tie the message together. Without the Holy Spirit, forget it. You are wasting your time. And the Holy Spirit baptism, the same way, you remember the man said, here is water. What prevents you from being baptized? He wanted it. The same way, the Holy Spirit to come to you. He's the most expensive object in God's wardrobe. The gold in God's wardrobe is the Holy Spirit. Not a car, not a BMW, not a Mercedes Benz, not mansions, not shoes, not a nice wife. The most expensive it's very special. In fact, he says that you can't even sin against anything, but if you cross the Holy Spirit's area, you can't. God, he forgives. He's a very forgiving God. But the Holy Ghost, if you bring your things to him, he won't forgive you. It will be a mark on you permanently. So that expensive Holy Spirit, he doesn't give it to people who are not interested in him. You should want him. Like he pointed, there's water. I want it. If you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, Luke 11 verse 13, you should ask. If ye being evil know how to give gifts, how much more shall your heavenly Father give? So God gives the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. You should want it. That's why the people were in the upper room waiting. They wanted it. They were fishermen, fishmongers, businessmen, rich people, curtain material sellers, Lydia selling purple. But they were in the upper room. They had stopped their work and were waiting. If the Holy Ghost is not important to you, you won't seek him. And that is why I'm about to preach to you. See, for you to know that without the Holy Spirit, you can't even be a Christian. Number one, the first thing about the Holy Spirit is that he is not a thing. You see, like the water, baptism, water is a thing. So we use the word it. What prevents me from entering into it? Now, the Holy Spirit is a person. So in the Bible, as we are going to see later, the Bible doesn't use it. He uses he. He's a person. He's a person. Just like this sister. He's a person. Just like this sister. Just like this man. Just like this woman. And every Christian must have this person by you. You can't walk alone. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said, it is not good. Is it true? That a man should be alone. It's not good. From the beginning of creation of man, he said that it is not a good thing that the man should be alone. Wow. It's not a good thing. What happened in Genesis? What is Genesis? What is Genesis? Genesis is the beginning of the creation of man. That's Genesis. Hello? Yeah. God making man. So God created man. And after he created man, he said, come and stand by me. Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. Ask your neighbor, are you listening to the pastor? This is the natural man. This is a natural man. Adam was a physical man, a physical human being God made. He said, it's not good. When we get born again, we become the spiritual man. And it's not good for the spiritual man to also be alone. The same way the natural man didn't have to be alone. And the English is, I will make him an help. That's, I'll make him a helper. So that's why he made Eve. Eve the helper. When Jesus came and brought us redemption and salvation, and we became saved, spiritual man, it was also not good for the spiritual man to be alone. So God made another helper. Call the Holy Spirit. So every Christian must have this man by you. Every Christian must have the. In fact, he's a man, he's a he. So let me ask you to sit down, and this man should come. He's a he. I mean, it can be a woman. I'm just using he. Yeah. I mean, if you are a Christian and there is no man standing by you, then the rest of the points are going to apply to you. If you are, you can be a Christian and you are like this, alone, born again. Alone. That's why he has that. Have you? I know you are a believer. Acts 19. You believe. But have you been giving that man? I know you've repented, but have you been giving that man? They say, which man? We have never heard that there's a man who should be with us. Say, what? Then how are you a Christian? So, we became a Christian by stopping fornicating, stopping unbeliever music, stopping the nightclub. Say, what? So is that all? Is that what makes you a Christian, a child of God? Say, no. You need somebody to, yes, you've stopped, you've done, but you must have the man to be with you. In your room, in the car, in the classroom, in town, at the marketplace, everywhere. That's why the Holy Spirit is actually called the Helper. Stand here. If you read John, chapter 14, verse 26. So the Holy Spirit is a person. Just like Eve was a person. Eve came into Adam's life to help him. The Holy Spirit comes into your life. So it says, but the Comforter. But if you read the New American Standard Bible, it says, but the Helper. So this is the same as Eve. He's a person. If you don't have him, I will not advise you to stop with the boyfriend. Go back to him. It will help you. Look, we don't live the Christian life with our physical strength. So he made a helper. A person. In fact, let me just allow me to just flash a little depth in your, just something big. Just one big thing. Let's come back to the basics. Yes. This word comforter. Okay. It's English. But the Greek word that this one came from, that was, it was translated to this one, is the parakletos. That is, even para, you know para? Yes. Parallel lines. Yes. Alongside. Yes. Uh-huh. So we have changed it to English and we call it the paraclete. He is parallel to you. He walks side by side with you. He's your paraclete, your paracletos. He's your advocate. He's with you. He speaks for you. He teaches. He's with you. I mean, 1,000 things he does are all to help you. If you are a Christian and you are not walking with this help, you're on your own. You are doing something. He's your paraclete. So we say the evidence of the Holy Ghost baptism is speaking in tongues. And everyone, because when the Holy Ghost came upon them in the book of Acts, the first thing that happened was that they began to speak with new tongues. Oh, help me to preach Jesus. Began to speak with new tongues. Hikala baba yan dedebo shaba ya baba kabazida baba ya dala baba. Rama kabush kebidima maya dibo saba. It's a spiritual language. It's a heavenly language. My mother taught me Fante. Yes. Your mother taught you Ga or Ewe. And I went to school, I learned English. These are earthly languages. Chi is an earthly. Dagomba is an earthly language. Spanish is an earthly language. Mfanti is an earthly language. Frafra is an earthly, but there's a heavenly language as well. Because you see, when you get born again, you become a spiritual person. You relate with heavenly angels and beings. So you must have a language they also speak. That's why we say Imakundi Makalaba Imbrazatuma Iman de Kelikasota Krengado Simi Kaleba Labra Mostabahata. Then when I meet her, I say, oh, Otsiden Eziza Ewe Zibana. That's the fancy one. Tell your turn. It's a what? Yojoba. So that's why. But when I finish talking to her, then I'm moving. Iman dedebo satala baba. Shani malosti brima katabasa. Iman de labroski patala. Iman danima gori mama. Oh, please, how are you doing, madam? I sent the oranges to your house the last time, and I added a cold pot to it. Thank you very much for sending me. God bless you. Every Christian must have two languages, your chi on earth and your tongues for heaven, because your relationship is with heaven as well. When you get born again, it's a helper. They were filled with the, take me back to 2:4. They were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues.
This is Bishop Edwin Ogo preaching. Stay tuned.
Get ready! It's that time of the year, and the Art of Shepherding Conference is here again with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo from the 21st to the 23rd of February 2024. Jesus said in John 10 that I am the Good Shepherd. Good shepherding is the key to a ministry that is flourishing and ever increasing. If you are a pastor or a church worker, then this is your opportunity to step into the realms of magnificent church growth by acquiring the skills of a shepherd. The Art of Shepherding Conference is happening from the 21st to the 23rd of February 2024 at the Makanere Church International, Otinibi Hills, near Oibi. Guest minister will be Bishop Ni Ajedu Ama of the Kodesh Family Church. Morning sessions are at 8 a.m. and evening sessions at 4 p.m. Your church and ministry will experience an unbelievable change. Contact us on 059-862-5036 for details.
Now, when you become spiritual, born again, the Holy Spirit is with you. One of the things, the evidence, is you speak with other tongues. Now, here in Acts chapter 2, it was not kariyabagadababababa. In Acts chapter 2, they began to actually speak earthly languages. So the people who had traveled from afar, when they came, they could understand. The man from Greece could hear Greek. The Elamites could hear the Elamic language. The Parthians could hear. But are these people not Israelites? How is it that I'm a Japanese and I'm here? This is speaking Japanese. So when the Spirit comes upon you, He gives the ability for you to speak a language people understand. It's part of your soul winning credentials. He gives you the ability to speak in a way stubborn cats understand. Not, it may not be the Ga language. oba fe oju ojogba ni ne. No, but it see, you speak and people understand what you are saying. It's an anointing. You are like, as I'm speaking English, different people understand what I'm saying differently. It's the Holy Ghost who is working with me. The Holy Ghost who is working with me. Then Paul talks about another language. That one nobody understands. The mind doesn't understand. But in the spirit, you speak mysteries. That is what you call the glossolalia. Glossolalia. So, the tongues, there are two types. The glossolalia in Karia Bababa. Or, he makes you able to even learn French. So, you can be a missionary in Gabon. It's called other tongues. In fact, the word tongue there is language. Lang. The tongue. La lang. So if you are a tree speaking person and you are in Accra, you should learn how to speak Ghan so that you can minister Ghan to people. Yes, Nakano. Yes, Sanole. If you are in the Volta region, you should be able to learn. You see, the presence of this paraclete makes it easy for you to speak. Esagomer. That depressed girl, Atrans, that depressed girl needs a certain language, not French or Spanish. Oh, it's English, but even the words to use, it's a type of language you speak, and the girl understands that she must be born again. He's a person. He's a helper. He's a paraclete. He walks by you. He talks with you. He walks where with you. You don't leave him behind. And you go. That's why Moses in the Old Testament, before the Acts of the Apostles, Moses said that if your presence, if your spirit doesn't come with me, doesn't paracletize me, I'm not going, because I can't walk alone. It's not good. You must be paracletized. I said you must be paracletized. Why? Why should you be paracletized? Come and listen to this one. Number two. Number two. Number one is that he is a person. Number two. Why? Why do I need this man called the Holy Ghost? Number two, because he will make me more like Jesus. Remember that Jesus is our Savior. Remember that you must be like Jesus. That's actually how the word Christian came. They were like Christ. They saw them. Said, no. This girl's behavior, we remember when Christ was here. This is like Christ. So the word Christian. Okay. Now, the Holy Spirit he came to replace Jesus. I'm with Jesus. I've worked with him for 3 years. He's with me, taught me power, everything, healing, evangelism, multiplying of bread. He's my Savior. He died. He even appeared again after he died. This is my Jesus. Then he said, no, it is better for you John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus says that. John 16, verse 7. He said, give me the New American Standard Bible. But I tell you that it is to your advantage that I go away. Meanwhile, God's plan for mankind is Jesus. This is God's plan. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
I saw somebody wearing it yesterday. It's Jesus. A Christian is Jesus. A Christian is what?
Jesus.
So we must be like Christ. But he said that if I'm here physically with you, it means that I can only be in Jerusalem with you. But there are people in India. There are people in Dodoma, in there are people in Japan, Ethiopia. I'm a human being. I can't be in Namibia and be in India at the same time. So it is important for you that I go. If I don't go, my mission to the world will not be possible. So I am going so that the helper will come. Now, when this man here, he can be in India, in Tokyo, in Takrady, in London, in Bungurugu at the same time. Clap your hands for this man. He's with you in your house. He's with you. He's with her. That's why it's an advantage. If it's Jesus, then all of us must go to him where he is. If it's in Tamale, the whole world, if you want to be a Christian, you must go and live with him in Tamale. But thank God that he left, and after he left, the person he brought, my God, you don't need to travel to Tamale no more. You can be in Dodowa. You can be in Ashalebotre. You can be in Asylum Down. You can be in Greece. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 7. This is John 16, 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go. New American Standard Bible. And after they came to Mysia, they were trying to go into Bithynia, and the spirit of Jesus did not permit them. The Holy Spirit is actually called the Spirit of Jesus. So if you don't have him, you can't be like Jesus. I'm not surprised you can't stop with that married man. I'm not surprised you can't stop watching pornography. I'm not surprised. You've been a Christian for 3 years. You are still stealing from your auntie's shop. To be like, how many of you want to be like Jesus? Yes. You must have the Holy Spirit. You must be mindful of him. You must practice his presence by speaking in tongues, by doing the right things, and make sure because he's a person, he can be grieved. He can be offended. He has feelings. In Ephesians 4, verse 30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. He can be grieved. Listen, say, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, I'm teaching you in English. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you cannot be a Christian. He is the one who makes you like Christ. He is with you. Anything that must be done as a Christian for you to be like Christ, to forgive, to love. For me to say no to this girl who is making advances at me. For the strength to say no to her, to be like Jesus, will come from the Holy Spirit. Without him, if I leave him here and I'm here, I'm going straight for the gold. So anybody struggling to be a Christian doesn't have the Holy Spirit. If you are struggling to be a Christian, it means that you are trying to be a Christian with your physical efforts. He comes to you and makes it possible. He is called the Spirit of Jesus. He must walk with you tomorrow morning. On Tuesday at 4 a.m., the Spirit of Jesus should be with you in the bedroom. Number three. I'm preaching. So number two, he makes you more like Jesus. That's why we need the Holy Ghost. He's not just there for us to do alabalabalabalabalaba. I know a lot of alabalabalabas. If as they are fornicating, they are speaking in tongues. Alabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabalabal You must be like Jesus. Did Jesus pray? You must pray like Jesus. Did Jesus go to church? You must go to church like Jesus. So when I see people who struggle to even attend a church service, I know he's bankrupt of the Holy Ghost. He has nothing to offer. Nothing to offer. Number three, he, the Holy Ghost, always be here. He helps you to deal with the problem of sin in your life. The big thing, Jesus Christ came into the world to bless you by getting you to depart from your sins. Big number one, A, I, B, C, D. Number two, number thousand. Sin, in fact, his name, Jesus. Matthew 1:21. Even the name means that he will save you from your sins. He shall be called Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So, when I say Jesus Christ, the thing that must occur to you is not heaven. It is sin. When I say Jesus, the first thought must be sin. In Acts 3:26, God sent Jesus Christ to bless us. He sent him to bless you by turning everyone from your wicked ways, from your sins, the King James says. So the presence of the Holy Ghost, come. He helps you. How does he help you to deal with sin? John 16:8. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. The Living Bible says that when he has come, he will convince the world of sin. The easy to read version says, when the helper comes, he will show the people of the world how wrong they are about sin. Wow. So the Holy Ghost convicts you about sin. Now, how does he do it? What does it mean to reprove? I checked the meaning of reproof. I didn't assume that I knew it. And to reprove means to find fault with. To reprove. Should I stop the preaching?
No.
But you don't look interested. When he is come, he will reprove. This word reprove, I'm showing you the Bible meaning. It means to find fault with.
Wow.
I'll teach you about it.
Teach me.
It also means to correct. To find fault with. It also means to show one his fault.
Wow.
And another one is to demand an explanation.
Hey.
Now, when the Holy Spirit is not with you, you don't find fault with the things you've done. You talk to your wife, you just say it and then you move on. And all of us talk like that. I told a girl, I said, I don't see you in church. And the answer you give me is that you have delivered. You have a baby.
New mother.
Then, to cut a long story short, I'm helping you to get a helper, to get a girl to help you to take care of your baby so that you can go and sing or go and do your meetings. You say you don't need the girl because there's somebody staying with you helping you to care for the baby. I said, oh wow, who is this person? The girl is a student. I said, this girl who is with you, it's not a house help. It just happens that she's next door to you. But she's a student. I mean, does it not occur to you that every day this girl has to leave her house and come and take care of your baby? So you are fine. But why don't you think a little about the girl's course she's doing in the school? You see, people don't think about the consequences of their decisions. People don't think about what they are doing. Because we are essentially a bag of nerves. There's something called reflexes. The nerves in your body are all there to let you take care of yourself. When the baby is born, she is born with a big reflex called the Moro reflex. Moro. When you drop the baby, she does this. In fact, when you drop a baby and the baby doesn't do this, it means the baby has got a problem with the brain. The baby, as soon as she feels that she's going, 2 weeks, the Moro reflex is intact. So as soon as you try and dry, like she's holding to the mother's breast or holding to the mother's arm, it's like we are all made to protect ourselves. Knee reflex. All our reflexes. If you look at my face, well, you can see that I am blinking.
Yes,
that's what you do when you are chasing the boy. Oh. You go and put more eyelashes than you. When you are talking, you are blinking your eyes. Oh. I should stop talking. I should stop talking. I should continue talking. But that one is an intentional. That is intentional. What you are doing, you are just seducing the boy. But normally, you can see that I am blinking. It's a reflex to protect my eye. To protect my cornea. Every so many seconds, I blink. All our reflexes, Jesus, help me to preach. All our reflexes are for self-preservation. That's the natural man. But when you are spiritual, you think of how your behavior is affecting other people, other members, other Christians, other pastors. It's not just about you. There are others in the picture of your life. And the Holy Ghost is the one. Listen to me very carefully. That's why you need an anointed pastor to preach to you. Because he is the one. In case you don't have a pastor, or the pastor is not there, he is the one who reproves you. That is, he finds fault with the way you spoke to your husband. He finds fault, like you, the way you came to church last week. He reproves you. if you don't have him, you will never feel accountable to anybody. To reprove means to ask for an explanation. Yes. Yeah, he will ask you, what was your left breast doing in the man's hand? Explain. No, explain. Explain. I mean, what you were doing with the boy, the heavy pattern, explain whether it is right. Because there's nobody there. If there's no Holy Ghost with you to ask for an explanation, you will backslide. But when he asks for one explanation, you will think again. Next time, you will not hand over your right breast for him.
To the master teacher.
Many of you, you do things, and because you don't have the Holy Ghost, there's no one to find fault with what you are doing. You listen to music, there's no voice to find fault. You are watching pornography, there's no voice to find fault. You only hear about fault finding when your pastor appears. But even when you were dressing up, as you were in your car, if you were spiritual, the Holy Ghost would have found fault with the time you are driving out of your house as a pastor. If you are spiritual, the Holy Ghost will find fault with you. How is it possible that as a believer, a girl, look at the pretty girl, you could be a prostitute or the girlfriend of a bank manager. You are in the church and the only thing you are doing is to project verses. But it's because you don't have the Holy Ghost, you can't even hear fault finding. He's a fault finder. Points your behavior. Don't talk to your husband like that. Don't talk to your wife like that. It's your wife's birthday. Stop that trip to Turkey and take her out. But if you don't have him, you'll go. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, you'll be 2 days ago, I was on Facebook. He said, stop it and go and read the book I've given you. Stop it and go and read the book. I said, stop. And think of it. How many times will Bishop George be with me? Or Bishop Dagi Ward Mills? Does he even know what I'm doing? I mean, how often will your pastor be with you? So if you don't have the paraclete to reprove you, to help you to deal with the problem of sin. I mean, as you are standing here, you were in the man's house last night. Oh, you slept with him. You've come. You've worn your check shirt with buttons and your bracelet. No, who knows? No one knows. But if you have the Holy Ghost, you will put it. You don't do that. You don't do that. Your wedding is in June. You don't do that. Then when we finish, Bishop George will come and announce that Cecilia and Richard are marrying in June. Not knowing that you are more experienced than the married pastor giving the announcement. That's why we need a paraclete. Somebody who stands by us and says, can't listen to that music. You can't disturb your mother. You can't talk like that to your mother. Go back home. If there's no paraclete, you will destroy your life. It's a paraclete. Think of it. How many times will your bishop be with you? Will your pastor be with you? So many of you, you are of good behavior when you are here. If the Holy Ghost is with you after church, as you are sitting with your unbeliever friends discussing Ivory Coast versus Nigeria, he will tell you that you can watch this match, but don't watch it with these people. He will tell you that the people you are watching the match with are wrong. Some of you sitting here, you have already placed a bet on today's match. You have already placed a bet on today's match. Am I lying? Why will you place a bet? Why is it that I have money on my phone and I don't place a bet? Because I have a paraclete. Once I press bet, a voice, a feeling. Like David, when he cut the hem of Saul's garment, he had a feeling. You need to have feelings when you are doing something wrong. And it's the paraclete who talks to you. Don't do that. Leave that place. Don't read that book. Go to church. Wear your cardigan and go to church. How do you think I've lived my Christian life for 40 years? He helps to deal with the problem of sin and of righteousness. That what you are doing is not righteous. To put your daughter in a car and drive, she's a shepherd. You are going home to drive the girl in a meeting and take her home because of what? If she was not a born again Christian, that girl will find her way to Dubai to sleep with dogs. Today she's born again, she can't find her way home. And there's no voice that tells you that you are destroying the girl. I think I want to stop the preaching. It's enough for today.
No.
Okay, let me give you one final one. Next week, if I'm here, we'll do the rest. Number four, the Holy Ghost. Why you must have the baptism? What's point number one? Why should we be baptized in the Holy Spirit? Number one is what? Because he's a person. It's not a good thing for you to be alone. You need a person by you, the Paracletos. That if that's the only reason, it's enough. Who is with you? Who talks to you? Number two, let's close. Second reason why you need the Holy Spirit, baptism. It makes you more like Jesus. That many songs, I want to be more like Jesus. Want to be like Jesus. How many of you want to be like Jesus? You can't be like Jesus by going to Harvard University. You can't be like Jesus by being brought up by a good parent. Some years ago, I was in school in UPenn, University of Pennsylvania. And before our morning meeting, we were told about a study which had been made, just released in the New England Journal of Medicine. They did a study on parenting. Children who were brought up well by good parents, very well. And the cohort was children who were not brought up well. Do I allow to do anything? Just be yourself. This one says, sleep at 9. Wear this shoe. You can't do that. No, stop it there. At the end of it, as these children grew, it was found that there was no difference. There was no difference between, like the outcome was the same. That this group produced 4 drunkards. This group produced 3 drunkards, essentially the same. This group produced 16 homosexuals. This group produced 20 gays. No difference. Because in you, there's no good thing. You cannot live your life yourself. You need the paraclete. Number 3. I can't hear you. Number 3. Sin. Without him, you will sin and not know you are sinning. Or you will know, but there's no feeling. Nothing cuts your chest. Nothing makes you feel sad. One pastor said, it is when he commits adultery before he preaches that he feels freer to minister. Yes. Obviously, there's no paraclete. Obviously, there's no reprover. Nobody asks for an explanation. What I like is he will ask you for an explanation. Explain your behavior this morning. Explain how you talk to your mother this morning. Explain why you were not in the meeting yesterday. Explain. And finally, number four for today. The Holy Spirit, He makes you an obedient child. When the Holy Spirit is not in a system, people don't obey. You see, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. It's a very important scripture. It says, wherein in time past you walked, everybody, I'm ending 3 minutes. You walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the, that's your own believer life, your old life. I'm showing you something. Your old life. You walk according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. A spirit. When somebody is not born again, one of the hallmarks is disobedience, rebellion. And we are learning today in church that it is a spirit. Do you have God's word translation? If you don't have God's word, I'll read it for you. Don't worry. Matthew. Remember now. Language. Don't force it. When there is disobedience, it's a spirit. Is it? Your mother says, stay at home. You go to the bathroom, go to the bathroom window, and go and have sex with two Lebanese men and use the same window. When your mother comes, some of you put pillows on your bed and cover the pillow. Nothing has happened. It's a spirit of disobedience. Is a spirit. That is why when you get born again, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is to make you obedient. If the Holy Spirit was in this church, we would have a 6:30 a.m. church service. That's where by 9 we've closed. We have meetings, we can go home, and maybe there's a late afternoon service, 4:35 p.m. under service. New other bus center leaders are also bringing their members. Bishop George is preaching. But the disobedience, you can't even get pastors to obey. If I was in Bishop Dagwood Mills set, let me not go too far. I was a member, me, Bishop Ogo, and Bishop George announces that next week we are starting the service at 6:30. I'll be here at 6:20. I've been in my car for a while. Because the spirit in me is a spirit of obedience. Many of you are sitting here with that old unbeliever spirit. So your current pastors cannot get you to comply. Last week Sunday, I was in Singapore. The church, a vast church, vast. The church, I was there on Saturday. And when I saw something there, I said, maybe Saturday is a special day of rest or something. Because the service was at 5 p.m. Saturday evening. By 4:30, the place was about 3/4 full. I'm not joking. I sent videos. Did I send it to you? Yes. Yes. I sent videos. I sent it before the service. I filmed the place. Instrumentalists were on the stage checking their instruments and all the things. I mean, they were there. 5 p.m. Bam! Started the service. Full house. Full house. When I say full house, I mean, they know that I belong to a church. My church is meeting at 5. I am there at 5. Before 5, I'm there. I said, oh, maybe Saturday is a special day. Sunday was a 10 a.m. service. By 9:30, the place was full. A different congregation. The place was full. When you are dealing with unspiritual people, one of the experiences is not obeying, disobedience. And I'm showing you today that it is the spirit that continues to work in the children of the world. Now, the God's Word translation of Psalm 51. Read verse 11. Look at the King James. Let me end with this. Psalm 51 verse 11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Listen to the God's Word translation. I'm reading it. I'm ending. Verse 11 says, do not force me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Verse 12. Restore the joy of your salvation to me, and provide me with a spirit of willing obedience. A spirit of willing. Many of you sitting here, you need a spirit of willing obedience. Otherwise, when you get born again, nobody can lead you. Jeremiah 3:15 says that I will give you leaders, pastors. Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Verse 2, he leadeth me. One of the things that happens to you when you are a Christian is that there will always be somebody giving you instructions. Always. There will always be somebody. Expect it, Grace. Expect it. He said that, don't be with that man again. Stop going to those parties. Go to school. Church is at the day I come here at 7 o'clock, and this place is full. I won't preach. I'll go home. No, I will fear to enter. No, it's possible that some armed robbers who came in the night slept and they woke up. The day this place will be full with pastors at 8 a.m. We have been here from 7. We've worshipped. We've prayed. 8 a.m. I'm here. I'm preaching. That day, I won't preach. You are full of disobedience. He maketh me to lie down. How come? The Holy Ghost is his name is the spirit of willing obedience. Psalm 51 verse 12. Willing. One of the things that will happen is that it will be easy to lead you. It will be easy to lead you. So because of the spirit of disobedience,
there's darkness. There's wait. Could have had a nice service this morning. Early morning service. Catholics are going to Mass at 6 a.m. Early morning. These are unbelievers with titles. Unbelievers we have given titles to. If you're a believer or unspiritual believers, if you are spiritual, it will be very easy for me to work with you to build a church. Very easy for me to build a church with you. Very easy. But not with you. I can't build a church with you. It even pains me that I made you a pastor. It pains me. Do you think I can build this church with you? You. You there, you have just come. You could have been a lady pastor amongst us. You have just come. You mean that there's no Holy Spirit to say to you that in addition to dancing, be a shepherd? There's no spirit? Oh, I doubt it. I doubt it. You've not been baptized. So you lack a paraclete. Don't walk behind me, walk by me. You are not a retroclete. You are a paraclete. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share are sweeter than none other has ever. And he walks. You can't get choristers to attend rehearsal at the time they themselves have chosen. I mean, it's just disobedience. You see, I'm showing you the level of evil spirits sitting in a place called church. From the pastors on the front row to the ushers in verse at the back. And he tells me I am his own. And he walks with me. And he talks with me. He doesn't know the song. He's a keyboardist. This is a basic song. But as a Christian, there has never been any Holy Ghost to tell him to even listen to gospel music. He's a keyboardist. Useless. And the joy we share are sweeter, greater. Nah. There's no joy in you. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share are sweeter now. You won't know the joy. You don't understand me why I'm preaching like that. But this pastor is a church for him. Why is he sweating and shouting bah bah like that? You don't understand me. You don't know who is walking by me. I'm having a good time. Having a good time. Having a good time. I pray for you today that for the first time in your life, you will receive the baptism of the spirit of willing obedience. And that will take you to the word, into prayer, into blessings, into his graces. Lift your hands and begin to pray. Lift your hands and begin to pray. Lift your hands and begin to pray. Lift your hands. Everybody, begin to pray. Think about the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. He talks to you. Next week we are going to look at his guidance. Ayabaduna Mahataba. He's with you. He's a person with you. Abadunama. Lift your hands and pray. Think about how he is there to help you to deal with sin. Sin, no, I mean, we were tuned to sin. So in sin did my mother conceive me. The easiest thing for me to do is to sin. There's no struggle with sin. Lift your hands. That's why many of you cannot live as Christians. You can't live as Christians because you are a natural believer. Lift your hands and pray. If you are here and you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit, step forward. You want the baptism with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You don't speak in tongues and you want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come, let me pray for you. Come. I'm waiting for you to come. Now lift your hands. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. If you are here, you already have the baptism, then listen. If you have the baptism, it means that you can speak in tongues, but the Holy Ghost is finished. Yeah. That's why you must listen to the message on waiting on God. He's spent. It's a spent virtue. He's finished. So you must be the one to lift your hands and ask the Holy Ghost to fill you again. According to Luke 11:13. Fill me again. Fill me again to convict me of sin. Fill me again to guide me. Fill me again to help me to obey. To be a leadable Christian sister. My pastor should be able to lead me. Fill me again, Holy Ghost. Fill me. Now, but for those of you in front, you are asking him to fill you anew, afresh. And the evidence is that you are going to start speaking in tongues. A new language. A new language. Ikabu ragiza ba yada baba. Lift your hands now. Lift your hands now. Lift your hands and pray. So there are two groups. One is praying for a refilling. Refill. Because the original Holy Ghost is finished. That's why you can't even do the things you must do as a Christian. Even as a pastor, you can't even do it. Lift your hands and pray. And for those in front, ask him to fill you. Yes, he's going to fill you. 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 Tayan dalabasa tababa. Ramasiko madima yan dalaba.
Fill me, Lord. Kopasia tabakataba.
Shabola bakata. Ramayana, lift your hands, everybody, and pray. Amayan dala baba, balosi manda bikadolo bosa. Remandima ya mama. The Holy Ghost is standing by everybody. As you call on him, he's coming. To help you to be a pastor. To help you to be a Christian. To help you to be a member of the church. To help you to be a believer. He's there. He's here right now. He's here. He's a paraclete. That's why Jesus had to go. Jesus could be at one place at a time. He could be at only one place at a particular time. But when the Holy Ghost came, he was distributed. He can stand by Esi, and stand by Amma, and stand by Kwame, and be with Francis, and be with Ephia, and be with Bernice at the same time. That's why I know that he's with you right now, wherever you are. The fact that he's with me here does not mean he can't be with you there.
Yes,
God.
Yes, Lord.
To be a Christian. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Now, those in front, just begin, please. Those in front. I don't know anybody who can speak French and at the same time be speaking Chi. Tongues is a language. And once you are speaking English right now, you can't speak in tongues. That's why when you open your mouth, speak in tongues. Speak in tongues. Your tongues may not be as refined as mine. I've been speaking. Can you imagine somebody who has been speaking French for 40 years? He's a linguist. He's very good. So you have just started. You will say, mama, mama, aya, baba, like a baby. Ba, aba, daba, baba, daba, dada, 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 dada. But as you go on, the same baby is now a professor in English in the University of Ghana. After 40 years. So when you open your mouth, as soon as you open your mouth and you speak English, it means that you are stopping yourself from speaking in tongues. As soon as you speak chi right now, it means that you have blocked yourself from speaking in tongues. But when you open your mouth, just start speaking in tongues. Say anything that you don't understand. Just open it up and speak. So I'm counting three. Everybody, those of you who are praying for the refilling, and those of you who are now praying to have the Holy Ghost now with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we are going to pray. As soon as I count three, start by just speaking in tongues. One, two, three. Open your mouth and begin to pray. Makatala babazata. Iya. Na mama. Yes, does it. Maya baba ya daba kata maya daba inala baza tada baba baba iya de raba ya babo iya ndala ba. Lift your hands, everybody. Maya ndala ba iya ndala ba brosa maya nda ima yanda yabo ima yandala baba iya ndala 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 baba pray maya ndala baba baba Imayandala baba yama mama 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 baba mayandala baba inala baba Don't stop it. Let it flow. It's like a river. It is flowing. Rika satapa. Shadababariata. Lefefedebebe. Don't be shy of it. Let it flow. Pasika paro. Shadabakataya. Kiligada bebe. Ladada fatala bakosa. Don't try to understand it. It is like a river. When it starts, it's like a stream. It's very small. When it starts, Bariada Sakavila, but let it flow. You will see that it will become a mighty river. Rimo Sata, Kaligada Babele Gose, Rebele Bebe, Sula Batakalaka. Hallelujah. How many of you in front have noticed that you are speaking in tongues? How many? Just give me a wave. Have you? How many? What you are saying, it's tongues. Don't doubt it. Don't think about it. You feel like, is it real? Is it not real? That is it. The first words a baby starts to speak are the words the mother was speaking. So speak what you are hearing yourself speak. It is tongues. And so don't doubt it. It is the Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you have noticed that you are not speaking in tongues? How many? You are not a bad person. I'm just asking. How many have not started speaking in tongues yet? In front, I'm asking. So all of you are speaking in tongues? That is wonderful. I want us to speak in tongues one more time for just 2 minutes. Lift your hands if you are in front and speak. Speak, let the words flow from your mouth. That is it. Those are the words. That is the tongues. Even now, open, close your eyes, open your mouth and speak in tongues. Close your eyes and speak in tongues.
Now the rest of us, the congregation, please lift your hand and let's ask God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Lift your hands, everybody, lift your hands, close your eyes, and ask God to pour out your spirit. The Bible says that He will pour out His spirit upon all flesh. Let all flesh lift their hands today and let us receive an outpouring of the Spirit. Pour your spirit upon us, O God. Pour your spirit upon your church. Revive your church. Pour your spirit. Revive your church in the name of Jesus. Let the spirit be poured out. You speak in tongues already, but receive a new tongue. Receive a new word. Receive a fresh spirit. Receive a new tongue today. Receive it. You spoke in tongues 2 years ago, but receive a new spirit, receive a new time, receive a new dealing. Yes. Let it be a refilling,
oh God. Fill us again.
Oh, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up. Song a prayer, made it a prayer. Fill my cup. Bread of heaven, fill me till I want.
Last time, just lift your hands. I feel the Lord wants to bless us. Eugene, close your eyes and lift your hands. Dibro Saka Fahade. We are children of disobedience because the Spirit is not there. Receive a new dealing of the Spirit of God. Be filled of the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let your life be easier. Your Christian walk be easier because of the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive Him. Receive the Holy Spirit. Oh Jesus. But thou not revive us again, O Lord. Revive your church, Lord. Suna mami no kosoki na bakadaba. Didi nida no mosuta. La kasa kapahaya na.
Father in heaven, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father,
Falada da boko sikibi hetese. Sunama nikini andi sikibi. Pour your spirit, oh God, upon your church, upon the leaders, upon the members, upon the men, upon the boys, upon the girls. Let your spirit pour, be poured out on us, Lord. In nini sikoto kosaha. In the name of Jesus. So say le bo de kaha de bo do so ni ni ma. Pali pada kaza le le bo do so do do so do do bo. So ni ma na 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 hata si di akali. La ko di pada papa do 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 satari ada. Fili na la la do shundi ata padi kafalo kusari ada. Lord, for we are struggling. We are struggling with sin. Struggling in this dark and evil world. Pour out your spirit upon us, O God. Find us where we are, O God, and pour your spirit upon us. Dele moso nana adi ezike. Palolo sotara kivili gaza hayadi. Sina mono sendeka anda akusuka akapa. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
We trust that you have been mightily blessed and affected by the Word of God preached by Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo. Do join one of our lovely services from the Makenere Cathedral near Valley View University, Oyibi, Accra, this and every weekend at 7:30 p.m. on Saturdays, as well as 7:30 a.m. and 12 noon on Sundays. Connect with Bishop Edwin Morgan Ogo on Facebook Live, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, and on your favorite podcast app. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.